Ladies and gentlemen, this is this announcement for all passengers traveling on Qatar Airways flight 47.
Welcome to the Hold Room with ACC, a quick update on all things relating to airport development as well as the Airport Consultants Council. This is a new effort by all of us here at ACC World Headquarters to better engage with the membership as well as the broader airport industry. We'll be hosting short 10 to 15 minute programs several times a month. Sometimes we'll be interviewing ACC leaders, perhaps introducing new members, but most of all, providing a glimpse into what goes on here in Washington and around the country with the Airport Consultants Council. My name is Matt Griffin, and this week we'll be playing a conversation I had with ACC board member Dwight Pullen at the recently held ACC-ACINA-AGC Airport Construction Strategy Summit.
All right, we are live here at the Airport Construction Strategy Summit in Kansas City. We're actually just wrapping up on our final day, and we're very fortunate to have Dwight Pullen with Skanska and ACC board member sitting down here with us. He's been participating over the last 2 days, so welcome, Dwight, and if you could just tell us a little bit of your background and kind of how you got into the industry, that would be great.
Well, thank you, Matt. I'm really glad to do this and really honored to have the opportunity to share a little bit about my background and my perspective. I'm a civil engineer by education. I never went into design, but I came out of University of Pittsburgh. I started out Georgia Tech, transferred to the University of Pittsburgh. I got into this career doing civil infrastructure, kind of pre-Olympics in Atlanta, and landed at a company that was doing a lot of program management, construction management work, and they ended up getting on to the airport to do program management at the airport back in 2000, and that was kind of my entree into the industry in 99 to be a part of the Hartsfield-Jackson Development Program.
Okay.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, you know, as a board member and kind of you've been through the last couple of years, we've been going through a strategic plan. And one of the big things that we've kind of concentrated around in the strategic plan is human capital and diversity. And
right,
I know at Skanska,
right,
you guys
right.
have been concentrating on this a lot. And I was wondering if you could just tell us a little bit about what, you know, personally, kind of how you feel we could be doing a better job and maybe some things that Skanska's doing to kind of push this.
Sure. It's a great topic around human capital and diversity. Let me start with ACC. You know, I think the demographic of what a member looks like is changing, right? You know, and so I think one of the things that ACC can do is really understand where that's headed, because I think we will attract different types of members. And I think it might even mean going outside the traditional consultant membership profile and looking at other types of partners that do development at airports. So I think that's one big thing. And I think the other thing is that there's a pipeline of young professionals coming out of school that don't know about our industry. And so I think we can do a lot better job of exposing children to the airport sector, to building and developing at airports. And so I just think there's a lot more we can do there, which is probably way early, but early exposure is the name of the game.
Yep.
And just like STEM programs do when it comes to science, technology, engineering, math.
Yeah, absolutely. And share a little bit about, I guess, maybe from your organizational side, what maybe Skanska is working on and how you guys are dealing with this. Because it's not even only a professional thing.
Absolutely.
It's a big trade issue.
It's a huge trade issue. We have over 17 local offices around the U.S., and so each of our local offices spend a tremendous amount of time going very deep in their communities, whether it's at the high schools, elementary schools, the universities and colleges around the area. So it is different and yet very similar across all of our offices.
Yep.
And so one of the things that we're doing is that we're partnering with schools. We are, you know, we attend career fairs and all that type of stuff. But at the same time, sometimes it's just simple as reaching out to local universities and schools where we're doing work anyway, and getting involved on the boards for those schools, getting involved in activities and looking for interns there for summer internships. So those are some of the things that we're doing. I think we can do a better job, a more comprehensive job nationally, but we do a lot of it very locally. But just this past year, in fact, it was a couple months ago, I attended the National Society of Black Engineers, which is 15,000 diverse engineering students looking for jobs, internships, and we interviewed, 100 different kids. I mean, so it was awesome. So we are doing national things to start ramping up that nationally as well. So it's pretty awesome.
And do you, as you've got young people coming in, do they kind of have to make a choice at the point, you know, I'm going to be working at airports or I'm going to be working, or are you guys funneling, you know, taking those young people, kind of introducing them to everything and kind of letting them to choose their path?
No, it's a really good question. We typically bring them into an office, and that office might do higher ed, it might do healthcare, it might do aviation, it might do life sciences, it might, you know, so it depends on that office. It might do multiple sectors, it might do a few sectors, it might not do aviation at all. So it's really, really about what that office is doing in that community and the types of projects that office actually does. So I would say out of our 17 offices, 11 or 12 of them do aviation in all in those offices. The other ones may do very little aviation.
Okay, interesting. You know, so I think you kind of touched on this a little bit, but, you know, I think it sounds like your biggest challenge you see for maybe ACC as a whole is just kind of getting folks to realize this is an opportunity to get into. And you know, one of the things that I think we've been trying to wrap our heads around is how do you solve that problem? There's so many universities out there, and there's so many things, so many different ways that, that young kids could go into, and highways are huge, transit's huge. So I don't know if you had any kind of thoughts on how we could go about trying to really push the airport. Do you see something there that makes it maybe more attractive?
It's a really good question. I was sitting there thinking about like that as well. You know, one of the things is that we're seen as aviation, right? And aviation could be airline, aviation can be airport, aviation could be the private sector, right? You know, so we know that there's all these different ways you can get into the aviation business. I think we got to do a little bit better job of maybe profiling our members about how we got into the aviation business and maybe going back to those roots of exposing people the way we got in. And we all have different stories about the way we got into the sector. But I also think that we can partner. Like, we can partner with student organizations and do something. It may be on a national level, it may be on a regional level, but it can start small, and ACC could do something maybe with the schools in the D.C. metro area, you know, the universities. There's a lot of great universities in the area. It might start something as simple as that, as an idea, to just say, hey, let us come in, bring some of our members, and talk about airport development, you know, the cool projects that we're doing in the region. You know, it could be just that simple, where you bring in some architects, some engineers and contractors and suppliers and vendors, and just talk about a project that they can see and touch, and they're going to be flying out to go home. Maybe it's college students, maybe it's high school students. It might be just that simple, but if they never hear about it, we lost them anyway. So I think it's exposure.
And you 100%. Know, it's kind of funny. We're here at this Construction Strategy Summit, and I think 2 years ago we were out in LA, and that was actually that week we were out there, and the Young Professionals Forum did their first regional meetup, and that kind of is a grassroots thing that's kind of blossomed, and now there seems like there's one every other month. So just trying to get the local organizations to just wave the ACC flag and kind of pick up and do some of the heavy work. There's probably a lot to be done there.
Just as another, you said something that just instantly triggered a brainstorm, but I mean, why aren't we doing more regional meetups around the conferences we're holding? And then why not encourage the young professionals to do something with the local community there to expose them to the industry? I mean, it won't be that much more work. It might be just bringing some high school, working with a local school and bringing some high school students around and having them do a competition. I mean, just something small, half day, just the morning, something to give them some exposure. You know, but I target high schools because if you can get them exposed early, kids will talk about it. You know, talk about what they saw, take them on a project tour, you know, something to get them some early exposure while we're in town. So that when we leave that town, we've made an impression in that community, and they'll remember. They'll remember ACC.
Absolutely. So share a little bit about personally how what you found successful for maybe just recruiting when you've been out hiring people, and you know, a lesson learned and maybe something you do better next time, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's really good. So I found that the best way to hire is like the best way to date. You know, it's not quick. It takes time.
Yeah.
You forge a relationship and you show a sincere interest in someone's career.
Yeah.
And you know, I think you hire when you don't have the need. Mm-hmm. If you hire when you have the need, you're focused and motivated to hire to fill the position.
Yeah.
But if you start looking for talent before you have the need, then when you have an opportunity, you're reaching out to people you already know.
Yeah.
And that takes more time.
Mm-hmm.
It does. But it also means that the people you do hire, you would have built some credibility with them.
Yeah.
And so I found that that is the absolute best way. The absolute worst way and where there's lessons learned is when you have a crunch deadline, yeah. You got to put a person on there and you go outside. It just, I don't think it works well.
Yeah.
I don't think you get the right talent. I think you rush the process. And I just think, you know, what would you want?
Yep.
You know, you would probably want someone that would take an interest early.
Yep.
And not be rushing you to make a decision so that they can meet a strategic directive or
yep.
something. Yeah. So
So let's change one maybe kind of, since we're again here at this event, talk a little bit how, you know, you personally and maybe Skanska in general approach potential project pursuits and teaming opportunities. I guess any lessons learned there? You probably don't want to give away all the secrets.
No. I don't mind sharing it. You're going to probably get tired of hearing this, but I think it's some of the same types of principles.
Yeah.
I would say that the relationships we build with architects, engineers, and even other contractors for teaming, it's just that. It's built on the relationship.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you want to have a good track record. We want someone who has a good track record with that client. We would love to find people who've worked with that client, who know that client, and they give us something that we don't have.
Yeah.
That's the best. But I would say we look for differentiation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there something about that company and what service they provide and how they do it that will differentiate us from the pack?
Yeah. Yeah.
We all want to be a little different from the pack.
Yep.
I think the track record with the client, if they have a history with the client of success,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's huge.
Yep.
I mean, that's exactly what we want. And I would say if there's some out-of-the-box thinking, you know,
yeah.
Innovation, are they doing something unique that no one else is doing, which is back to differentiation.
Yep.
So I think those are all really important things. I think as we go into a pursuit process, we do a really thorough assessment of ourselves.
Okay.
You know, what are our strengths and what are our weaknesses? And what do we, because that will help us figure out who we approach to join our team.
Uh-huh.
Someone that shores up a weakness, a perceived weakness that we think we might have.
Okay.
So kind of our approach to partnering, and that could be a vendor, that could be a supplier, it could be a sub-consultant, it didn't even matter. But if we do a thorough SWOT, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats of who we are and our team, then we'll know the types of companies that we need to shore
yeah,
us up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So as we kind of wrap up here, just tell us something, you know, tell us something maybe that the industry doesn't know about you, or a little personal tidbit to share.
Okay. Something that everybody may not know is I co-authored a book 4 years ago.
Okay.
It's a book called The Spiderweb Philosophy.
Okay.
And the spiderweb philosophy is really a metaphor for building relationships. And what we did was we looked at the spider and we said, that spider creates webs. Spiders actually don't chase their prey.
Uh-huh.
They put a web, and that web actually captures what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And in the very core of the web is the strongest part of the web. And I call that core those close relationships you have. So if the web is the metaphor for your relationships,
mm-hmm.
instead of chasing the things you want, build the relationships and you'll catch all the things you're looking for. So it comes back to the things we were just talking about.
Absolutely.
It's all built
absolutely.
In relationships. So the entire thing is about authentic, honest, true relationships and building and using those relationships to really do the things that you want that you aspire to do.
Great.
So
is it available on Amazon?
It's on Amazon,
right.
Kindle, hardback. This is a shameless plug, but
yeah. We'll get the word out for it.
But, you know, we just looked at our lives, me and three other co-authors, we looked at our lives and we realized that almost everything that we've achieved, of significance in our lives came through a set of relationships that we had.
Wonderful. Well, hey, thanks, Dwight, for taking some time with us
here. It was a pleasure.
I know you probably got to run and catch a flight, and we actually got one session left here to wrap up, but appreciate your time, and hopefully we'll see you again next time.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for spending some time with us in the Hold Room. Check back in the next couple of weeks for our next discussion. We really are excited about this new project and are looking forward to hearing from you. Please take some time, find us on social media, and let us know who we should talk to next. As always, you can access all of our episodes on Apple Podcasts or at the ACC Training Hub at training.acconline.org. We'll see you next time in the Hold Room.